Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina al-mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'd. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. One of the classes we are discussing with regards to aqaid, our beliefs, our aqidah. Aqid, beliefs, aqaid, aqidah. This is the most important thing. Because if a person's aqidah is corrupted, and the one thing that Allah Ta'ala does not forgive is shirk. If a person passes away without iman, then there is no way of that person being forgiven. If a person passes away with his iman or her iman intact, but the person had committed even major sins, big gunas, and many of them too. But sometime Allah Ta'ala can just like a certain action of that person, and he can forgive the person. Hukukul ibad, that Allah Ta'ala will take to account. That's why don't ever leave anything you got some dealing with somebody, owing somebody money, hurt somebody's feelings, whatever, trample somebody's rights, sort it out. Because that Allah Ta'ala will call to account. The rights of Allah Ta'ala, if Allah Ta'ala wills, He will punish a person. If He wants, He'll forgive the person. So, our aqidah is very, very important that it must be correct. So, in this kitab, it is mentioned that in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, there were atheists, people who don't believe in the existence of Allah Ta'ala. And Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, he used to always cut them. In other words, whatever they're talking, he will give proofs and he will explain with regards to the existence of Allah. So the author of that kitab, he says that Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, he was a cutting sword for the atheist. So these atheists, they were looking for an opportunity, they wanted to kill him. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, they wanted to kill him. So one day, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, was alone in the masjid making ibadat. That used to be his habit at night. He used to spend the night in the masjid engaging in ibadat. So these people came and they surrounded him. These atheists, they came, they surrounded him with unsheathed swords. They want to kill him. So Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, he said to them, "It's all right. See, just answer me one question. Answer me one question. After that, whatever you want to do, you can do. You want to kill me, whatever you want to do, no problem." So they said, "All right, ask." So he asked them, I'm confused now. Which incident comes where? What he asked him? About the ocean. So he asked them that, have you ever witnessed, have you ever traveled the ocean? Have you seen the conditions of the ocean? So they said yes. So this person says that he traveled the ocean and he asked them that, tell me that if a man who traveled the ocean, he has to tell you that I was on a ship or I saw a ship. It had no captain. It was in stormy waters. The waves are hitting it from all sides. The wind also is blowing from all sides. And there's no captain also, no sailors to sail the ship and steer it in the right direction. and the ship is laden with goods, but the ship is remaining on course, is not moving. So what will you say about that person's story? They said, no, it can't be. It's impossible. How can it be? The person is lying, in other words. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi told him that you can't believe that one ship without a sailor in stormy waters, you can't believe that it is remaining on course. But you expect us to believe that this whole world, everything that's happening in the world, the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, the moon, the stars, changing of day and night, the different seasons, the rainfall, the winds, everything that's happening, you're saying that there's nobody who created it, nobody who's controlling it. So with what sincerity Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi must have explained this to them, that these people, they made tawbah. They came to kill him, but they made tawbah and they accepted Islam. Then there is an incident the author mentions with regards to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah, that some philosopher came to him. He said, what's the proof with regards to the existence of Allah Ta'ala? So Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah told him that the proof of the existence of Allah Ta'ala is in the mulberry leaf. The leaf of the mulberry tree. So he said, how come? How is that? So he says, see, this mulberry leaf, do you accept that all the leaves, they are the same color more or less? They got the same taste, they got the same smell, they're all the same. He says, yes, they're all the same. They agree, the philosopher, he says, yes, all are the same. He says, now tell me, a silkworm eats the leaf and produces silk. A honeybee feeds on the leaf and produces honey. A sheep or a goat eats the leaf and produces droppings. And a musk deer eats the leaf and produces musk in its musk glands. So although the leaf is the same, but every animal that's eating it is produced different effect, different result. Who is causing this? So that person started crying. He liked the answer and he also made tawbah and he became Muslim. So they showed the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah. So this power of Allah ta'ala, it is not only in the leaves and the trees and the plants and those things. Power of Allah Ta'ala is in us also. Only if Allah Ta'ala wants us to remain on Sirat-i-Mustaqim, we will remain on Sirat-i-Mustaqim. If we do things to displease Allah Ta'ala, anger Allah Ta'ala, and Allah forbid, Allah Ta'ala takes a decision for our gumrahi, our dalalat, our misguidance, then there will be nobody who will be able to put us on the straight path. So we must always remain humble, always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah ta'ala for guidance, and stay away from guna, stay away from those things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is one incident mentioned by Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh. That once Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, he was sitting with few people and he sees some people dragging one dead body. They're dragging this body and taking it. So Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, he looks at the face of this person and he gets so affected that he goes into like an unconscious state. So when he regains consciousness, so his students, his murids, they asked him, said, kya hua, you saw that person, got so affected. But then he explained, he says, see, this person, He used to be a very pious person. He used to make a lot of ibadat, a lot of zikr, engage in a lot of different types of ibadat. And outwardly, he was a knowledgeable person, pious person. But one day, his gaze fell on a Christian woman. And at that time, immediately, he didn't do anything. He tried to control his emotions, etc. But he was smitten with this woman. So after some time, he couldn't control himself now. He wants this lady. He's making advances towards her, sending whatever the communication, sending messages or whatever. But obviously she said that, see, I'm a Christian, you are a Muslim, it can't work. So in order to get this woman, he became murtad. Allahumma hafazna. He left the deen of Islam and he accepted Christianity. Now he is making advances to this woman to say that, see now, I've given up my religion. I've accepted your religion now. Now there's nothing to stop us. Now I can get married to you. So this lady, when she realized that this person is not stopping, is not going to let up, so she reprimanded him. She told him that your deen, which is supposed to be the most important thing to you, your deen is the most important thing to you. You gave up your deen for me, I can never accept you. A person like you who gives up their deen, I cannot accept you. But then she says to him that today I am also giving up my religion. But not for the reason that you gave up yours. That you gave up Islam and you embrace Christianity for a pretty face. Today I am leaving Christianity and I am embracing Islam for the pleasure of Allah. And then she went on to explain that I saw a dream. No, first she read Surah Ikhlas. So the people were shocked that how come she knows Surah Ikhlas. So somebody asked her, when you memorize this surah, did you always know this surah? She said, no, I saw a dream. I was shown Jahannam. I was shown Jannat. And I saw certain things written in Jannat. And when I woke up from this dream, I knew this surah. Because this surah explains who Allah Ta'ala is. The Christians, they believe in Trinity. And this surah is saying that Allah is one. Allah Ta'ala is one. There is no Trinity. So she accepted Islam. And this person, because he became murtad in a Muslim land, he was put to death. And now they were dragging his body. And yes, she said that in a dream, she was told by who she saw in the dream now as an angel. So she was told, because when she saw Jahannam in the dream, she was very, very afraid. So Malik told her, the doorkeeper of Jahannam, told her that, see, you don't have to worry. That person whose place was in Jannat, because he had Iman, now you will take his place in Jannat. And your place was in Jahannam because you were on Kufr. But he will now take your place. So this is the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. the Mashiach of Allah Ta'ala. We as the servants of Allah Ta'ala, our duty is to remain in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Realize the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Realize that Allah Ta'ala is in control of everything. Our work is to obey Allah, keep our aqidah clean, obey Allah Ta'ala, follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Currently in the world, there is a big fitna around the whole world. You see, there are certain fitnas that shaitan with his agents, they start in one place, two places. And then there are certain fitnas which are global fitnas. So, not too long ago, the global fitna was all this LGBT. Couple years ago, around the world, they made a big charcha about this LGBT. Currently, around the world, the fitna is interfaith. Abrahamic religion, Abrahamic accords, and interfaith. No, no, we must be tolerant. Everybody, we're all worshipping the same Allah. We must all be tolerant. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, this Abrahamic accord, that is only for three religions. Islam, Judaism, Christianity. They say, no, we are all from one. All our deen comes from Allah Ta'ala. And interfaith, this includes everything. Everything. Hindus, Telugus, Tamils, Buddhists, everybody. We must respect everybody. The nahusat of this is that people will get involved in kufr. There are people in our own country who are looked upon as humanitarians. They are even given masjid platforms. Right? But they too are involved in interfaith. Say, no, everybody, whether it's Hindus, you must embrace them. Everybody must embrace them. Everybody is on par. Everybody is one. When Allah Pak is saying, there's only one deen. Everything else is kufr. Everything else is shirk. Everything else is unacceptable. How can we then equate everything? And then globally what is happening? In Dubai, they made the first Abrahamic house. Currently, everybody is happy. Muslims around the world, we are happy. Al-Aqsa has opened. Yesterday morning, Fajr time, after 40 days, they opened Masjid Al-Aqsa. Everybody is very happy. And we should be, the haram got open. But, you see, when they create a big hangama, big tamasha in the world, they make everybody focus on one thing. They're doing something else. So everybody was focusing America, Iran, these two things. And Iran is bombing what they call Israel. Now they say we got ceasefire. And everybody is making it out to see what a power Iran is. So they brought America to its knees. America had to agree to ceasefire. If Iran was so powerful, they brought America to its knees. And if the narrative which was being pushed all this time, that no, Iran is the only place that's standing up for Palestine and for the Muslims and they fight is for Islam. So why they never include in the ceasefire Gaza? They're still bombing them there in Gaza. Why they never include in the ceasefire Lebanon? They're still bombing there. And they are bombing towns in Lebanon where 60 to 70% of the population are Sunni Muslims. So much bombing, types of bombs they're dropping there in Lebanon currently. We didn't see that kind of bombs falling in Israel when Iran was bombing or when America was bombing Iran. We didn't see that kind of bombs. Right? Now that's a Another chapter, Allah Ta'ala alone knows the haqeeqat. But what's happening on the ground? This whole tamasha, what is the effect? What's the aftermath? You see, Masjidul Aqsa is supposed to be exclusively for Muslims. It's our haram. Slowly, slowly from 2008 or 2003, I can't remember exactly the dates, they came to some agreement that no, the Jews now, they also have to come here. One is they broke the haram, portion for the Jews, portion for the Christians, portion for the Muslims. But the masajid are in the hand of the Muslims. Eh? So now from around 2008, they made a rule that no, this section here, what we call the haram, the Jews must be allowed to come there for 3 hours a day. It mustn't be at any namaz time, but they can come there, either they're touring, they want to see, or they want to do some rituals or whatever. So the army will escort them in, the Jewish army. Those of you that went to Masjid al-Aqsa, you would have witnessed this. Right? They will walk in, do their own rituals, whatever. But they're not allowed in the masjid itself, but in the compound. It's still the haram. Now when they opened the masjid yesterday, they extended the times. So everybody, you see, everybody is just in the, Aqsa is open, Aqsa is open. Right? Oh, ceasefire. See what Iran did to America. This is how they fool us every time. Right? The new law is that from 6:30 in the morning till 12 o'clock, the Jews can enter the compound. Then from after Zuhr till 3 o'clock, they can enter the compound. Now, when Dubai sold you out, they put Abrahamic house and they went to make iftar in the mandir. When all these Arab countries, in order to be part of the global face, they say, no, interfaith, we accept, we all interfaithers and all that. When our own muftis and moranas and all that are involved in interfaith. Now, with which voice these Palestinians going to say, no, we don't want these Jews here in the compound. So if they say, we don't want these Jews in the compound, see who's the troublemakers. We all Abrahamic religion. We all interfaith. We're giving you all time to read your namaz. Now we also need to come and do our thing. But ask them, tell them your wailing wall. You must clear your wailing wall out. Not that we want to go there. They say you clear your wailing wall out and give the Muslims time over there. They won't do that. Tell the Vatican, clear out your Vatican. Certain time to certain time, the Muslims will come do some gush and all that over here. They won't agree to that. So I told you in the beginning, you will only realize what's going on, what's their motive when the dust settles. Don't read headlines and get carried away. Don't just look at things on the surface and get carried away. Today is day of Jumu'ah. There are queues of Yahud with their animals in their hands because it's day, some what they call like some holy day, like how we have our Qurbani, they must slaughter some animal. They are holding their animals to come and slaughter in the haram there, in the haram compound. It's, it's our ritual. They in the haram compound, all this Talmudic verses and all that they are reciting and performing over there. So they opened the haram, but they opened it to the Yahud also. So we must be careful with these kuffar. They are always plotting. But remember, Allah Ta'ala's plan is supreme. Yes, weakness is from our part as an ummah. We have become weak. Allah Ta'ala's plan is supreme. Keep turning to Allah Ta'ala. Have trust in Allah Ta'ala. Keep our aqidah right. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had given a bayan on the Shiism thing. Try and obtain the bayan. It's doing its rounds currently. on all these bayan groups and all that. If you want it, I'll send it to you. Those of you that want it, you can contact me. I'll send it to you. Listen to that bayan. Because everybody, they say, no, Maulana's today, oh, they sold Mohan Patel. Oh, he was so tolerant. He was very open, very tolerant to everybody. So must listen to Hazrat's bayan, then they must listen what he's saying. And they must follow what he's saying. Allah Ta'ala, give us all tawfiq, protect us all, keep us all on sirat-i-mustaqim, keep us with iman, take us with iman, and protect us from the makar of the kuffar. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.